Hello and welcome to episode 319 of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is a podcast where we discuss movies both old and new. And just for a fair warning, we do spoilers. So if there's a movie that we're going to discuss that you have any interest in but haven't seen yet, maybe skip ahead a few minutes and then come back and listen to us after you've seen the movie. I am Doug, and I am joined by Extra Features head honcho, Simon Watson.
I am here as I'm here every week. Have you ever heard the story? There is one episode I was not there for.
Really?
Yeah. One of my children had a medical emergency on my way to the recording. So I drove the intern at the time, who's still with the intern, he can come back anytime he wants, to there. I had to go right after dropping him off. I got the call as I was walking out of the car.
Oh, wow.
So I immediately left and drove home. I told them to record without me. They didn't want to. So there almost was one episode of Extra Features without me. Wow. And that would have been fine. That would have been totally fine with me because everybody was there. So we had five people on the show and we just recorded at Kevin's house.
Okay.
And they didn't want to do it. So they, I guess they just hung out for the night without me and dealt with it. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But Doug, I got this weird thing. So as you know, my father-in-law died. So my mother at the end of the thing handed me a book. She goes, I think you might like this. It was Quentin Tarantino's book, his new one he wrote. Oh my God. Absolutely love it.
All right.
Love this book. So I'm. If we ever get closer, I will give you my copy. If not, I'll probably just put it in the mail and send it to you anyway. So.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Because I'm not going to keep it, so there's no point in me keeping this. Okay. People got to know, me and Doug do not live anywhere near each other.
No, two separate countries even.
Probably, I'd say a good 13, 14-hour drive for us to get to each other.
Probably, yes.
So that's why we use the mail system, people. It's not that we're trying to avoid each other. We really do hate each other. I'm trying to think, did I finish any series? Oh, I did. I finished Sabrina season 4 on Netflix, the last season.
Okay, I gave up on that show like season 2.
No, season 3 sucked. Don't worry. Season 4 was decent. It gets friggin' dark on season 4. And I mean dark. I was like, wow. And I was not the ending I expected. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to ruin it because we don't ruin random TV shows I watch.
That's fair. I think I, since we last spoke, I watched The Bear season 2.
And on, I hear great things.
Oh, it's amazing. I loved season 1. Season 2 was even a step above that. One story arc I could have done without, that there's a whole romance story and I don't think romance is needed on a show like that. I'd much rather just be in the restaurant business of it all. But even the romance, it wasn't a deal breaker. It was still a fantastic season of TV.
I've never seen it. I don't know what's next. Oh, I did finish Ted Lasso, but I think I discussed that already. That was excellent. I'm working on The Shield season 3 right now.
Okay. That's a show I tried. I tried that show a couple times, just couldn't get into it.
You know what I like intensity in movies. So what? Mm-hmm. The Shield is exactly a movie every episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people love it. And it's just, I tried it. It just wasn't for me. I just couldn't get into it.
Well, what the funny thing is, I just learned because I'm judging for the South Pacific Film Festival. I think that's what it's called. I'm a judge.
Okay.
So I hadn't really noticed, but they sent this thing out. If you review 50 movies, we pay you. I'm like, nobody ever told me that. I was half-assing this. I'd watched most of the stuff they'd sent me on everything. Now I found out I get paid. I'm like watching every single thing they sent me. Because if I hit 50 judging things, they give me cash. I'm like,
go for it.
They told me this. I would have had all those other crap I skipped last thing because I didn't have time. But if you told me there was money involved, I would have got it done. So I've been – it's weird because this one they sent me 3 more today. And I think I had 2 more to watch from last week because I was away all weekend. I didn't get to watch them. So I have 5 to watch tomorrow.
Okay. Anything really good that you've, without spoil, I don't want you to.
Oh, you know what?
Judge. Is there anything that's really impressive?
I can't remember the name of this film, but it was, the woman had the best underwater photography I'd seen in years. It was like this woman's child had died. I'm not ruining anything because I'm just going to tell you. And the woman goes into the water and hears something singing to her like a siren. And she goes under the water. And it's all shot with underwater cameras, the woman. And you just see this beautiful CGI underwater. And my jaw dropped. I was like, this is incredible. So that was one I really liked. The second one, again, I can't remember the names, but if I went to my, I watched Story People so many this week. It starts off, this guy picks up a girl on the highway. And you're like, okay, something's wrong. Like, you just know something's up. And he gets in. She goes, I like you to drive fast. And she starts coming on to the guy. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, there's got to be something going on here, right? And then it cuts to like a cartoon. So it's like this really ripping car. And then they're doing like, go faster, go faster. And you see the car just going faster and faster in the cartoon. And at the end, of course, there's a twist. And I'm like, that was really good. It was like 5 minutes. So,
excellent.
And the last one I'll discuss, which I mean, I guess I can discuss them because I mean, I'm not naming any names. But this one's a documentary on the guy that designed coins, I think, for the Winter Olympics. No, was it one in China or something? Olympics in China?
I think so.
He designed the medals, and it was okay. Just awesome. And he does it on, like, rollerblades or something with his lacrosse stick. Phenomenal documentary. I actually – those are the three big ones I like. And those are the three I gave the best scores to so far, so –
okay.
I'm ruining my judge's score. I don't really care because I didn't name the movies, but if you can find them, they're in the Pacific. Those are the ones I like so far. I mean, I've watched probably at least 50 reviews now, but I don't know if the 50 reviews need to be in a segment, but I'm getting this money. Now I know this money, I'm going to get some.
All right.
So, people, that's what I've been doing, and I want to encourage everybody, please check out Extra Feature Interviews and review us. We need some reviews. We're kind of stuck for a long time. I know you guys are listening because I see the download. Sorry, I do. Please, please, please review us. That's all I ask. Okay, on with the show.
All right. Do you want to take 1 minute for sad news that occurred earlier or late last week?
Sure, of course.
Well, unfortunately, a true Hollywood legend has passed. We just discussed him in a movie a couple episodes ago in Glengarry Glen Ross. Alan Arkin has passed away. And that one bummed me out. He is one of my favorite actors. I just love him in his comedic roles, his dramatic roles. He could do everything. I will truly miss Alan Arkin.
So I, and I discussed my Alan Arkin story, so you have to go to that episode, people, if you want to hear the Alan Arkin story. I do try to give you guys stories when I remember them. And sometimes I don't remember them till later in the episode, but Doug always laughs because I always have a story about celebrities.
That is true. Some celebrities I had no idea. You discussed Rennie Harlan. You had a Rennie Harlan story, and that – shocked me.
Sorry, I've been doing – I used to collect autographs before kids a lot and before I got married. So I did it for about 20 years before I got married. So heavily. And I still do, but I just don't have the time. So I only go out for certain people now. So I pretty much met everybody in the 90s that was big, most of them. So I try to. Okay. There are a few big names I never met.
Okay.
All right. What's our first movie? Because as always, I don't make notes.
Our first movie is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, directed by James Mangold, starring Harrison Ford, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Mads Mikkelsen, Toby Jones, and Boyd Holbrook.
Boyd Holbrook was in this?
Yeah.
He plays one of the banks bad guys?
Yes.
Okay, that's why I didn't recognize him because he's – oh, I know who he played.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay, I got it. So you want me to start?
He plays this – go right ahead.
So, okay, I want people to know that Doug sometimes lets things slip on his Facebook page. And me being me has to make a comment about it because I couldn't let that slip. So I think there are parts of this film that are fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And they're all involved car chase scenes. That scene on the rickshaw chase scene, absolutely great. The opening scene on the train, not too bad. I got to say, not bad. I know they had to make him younger. I'm like, still not bad. And I think they make them look younger all the way through the film. I liked it. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I don't really know her work. And I'm being honest about this. I don't, never seen her. I know her writing from Killing Eve first season. I thought was really good. And then she left the show and it went to crap because I watched all the seasons. And stood out like a sore thumb. I just think this was not for her. Not saying she was bad in the part. It just something didn't feel right with her all the time with me. She didn't seem, I don't know, didn't seem right. Something in the miscast to me totally miscast that part for me. I hated the end of this film. Oh, my God. What a big pile of junk. I'm like, this is dumb. This is not what anybody signed for. And if they have to do another callback to Indiana Jones 1 or 2, I'm going to puke during this film. I'm like, I should have sat there with a pencil and going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My guys, I'm naming off scenes that I've seen in number 1 and 2 and 3 that you're just redoing here. If they're pulling stuff from 4, I have only seen it once. I don't remember it that well. And then the refrigerator scene, which I don't think was in this movie. Oh, the lead, maybe she was CIA agent or whatever. I really liked her.
Yes, yes. I forget the actress's name.
I'd rather have her in the Phoebe Waller-Bridge part. I think she would have done a better job. I think she had a better command of what she was supposed to do. I did like the jokes with the little kid. I thought they were very well done. They kind of made me happy. But again, I'm like, is that just supposed to be Short Round from Indy 2? Is that really what they're doing? I'd say yes, but they worked. I'll let them go. I just felt they would introduce an idea and it never felt fully finished. Like the auction never feeling like, why are we going to all this level? It's just sort of quick boom out. I'm like, no, I want to see them selling something I'd recognize. Like, show me something. When he's in class, the class scene worked, but that's right off number one. That's really exactly off number one. So now they're showing Indies wash up and nobody wants to have sex with them because number one, they all did. Is that what that's supposed to be?
Kind of. And he's now in a less prestigious school, so he's fallen on harder times.
Maybe. I thought they could put his wife in that scene. I thought that would have been – Clissa Flockhart would have fit perfectly in that.
Okay.
I mean, I could have handled her in there like just for 2 seconds, just in the crowd, not saying anything, just there.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of this film, I'm like, we're doing this again? A total ripoff of one at the end.
I like that.
Because yes. Where else are they going to put her? I'm like, where's Marion? I know because somebody ruined it. I read something about, like, really, guys? I read maybe – that's why I don't read reviews usually because they ruin films. Before you don't see the film, people like we do, this is why I don't. And someone goes, Marion. I'm like, well, I know she's going to show up eventually. We're at the end, so there she is. I'm like, oh, okay. So I think it's half of a good movie. Half of a good movie, and it just needs work, like little things to me. Like just flesh out some things and fix that ending. That was just trash. So that's what I got to say about India. I didn't hate it. I think it had some good points. It needs some work. And I could use another Indiana Jones film, but no more Harrison Ford. I'm done.
Okay. I'm kind of with you. I'll just start off with my rating. I gave it a 3 out of 5. So a little better than half. But I had fun with it. I was worried it would be like Liam Neeson geriatric action film. It didn't really have that feel to me. It did feel like it was just trying to be a straight up action film. I did have a little bit of suspension of disbelief whenever Harrison Ford punched a dude and it caused damage to the other person. That that was a little out there for me. I am a huge Phoebe Waller-Bridge fan.
I know.
I love her TV show Fleabag. Incredibly funny, incredibly heartfelt. Two seasons. They're on Amazon Prime. Highly recommend those. Two of the best seasons of TV ever, in my opinion. But I agree with you. I felt she was slightly miscast here. I think she pulled off Helena when Helena was being a little devious, when she wasn't playing by the rules, when she was stealing stuff, selling it at auction, lying to Indiana. I thought she pulled that off. What I didn't think she pulled off as well was the change of heart, where she's all of a sudden really good and caring about Indiana. I thought the only person she should have cared about would have been the kid. I forget the kid's name. Was it?
Well,
Teddy,
I agree. Or that turnaround was bullshit, as far as I'm concerned. I'm like, no, you can't convince me you like him now, because you've gone out of your way for the first hour and a half of this film to try to get rid of him, dissuade him, anything, get rid of Indy. You left him with the CIA guy. Oh, that CIA scene was amazing. With the horse? Was that chasing? Was absolutely blew me away how good that was and shot. But
And I think my biggest issue with the movie, aside from the ending where they went, back in time, I won't spoil that. I'll just say they go back in time. Where they went, I just didn't do anything
for me. It didn't work in the movie. It made no sense.
Yeah.
And then Harrison going, I've always wanted to find this. I'm like, when? When was that brought up? Well, I've watched four movies of yours. I mean, if you told me it was some Jesus thing or a religious item, I got it. I mean, that's why The Last Crusade works for me with the cops so well, because I believe he would look for this.
Yes.
The Spirit of Destiny. I'm like, really? And the hokey pokey turn the switch nonsense they were trying to feed me. I was like, bleh. Mad Nicholson's doing the best he can with his script. He knows it's lousy.
But do you think Boyd Holbrook ever gets tired of playing generic, ineffective bad guys?
You know what? It's a cash for him. You know what? Yeah. He's getting $500,000, maybe $1 million, probably. Show up and do nothing. And I mean, they know he's going to show up. They know what they're getting. And he's not going to be a leading man.
He's only impressed me ever in one role. And that's the Corinthian in the Sandman series on Netflix. Everything else, he's just kind of there. He's just generic bad guy number one.
And can we contend here for a second?
Forgettable. Sure.
Okay. People, I want you to know, Doug has read all the Sandman. So have I. So Doug has watched the Netflix show, even though he knows everything's going to happen.
Yes.
Okay. They're redoing the Harry Potter books. Sign me up. I couldn't care less if I've seen it 100 times, the movies. I've seen all the movies numerous times because my kids started watching them. And I'll watch anytime they're on. If I pass TV, I have to watch a few minutes. I'm going to eat this stuff up like there's no tomorrow. And people are like, it's just a recap. I don't care. They can literally redo the movies word for word. And I will sit and watch this stuff. That's what I'm saying with the Sandman thing. You know, I'm a junkie for Harry Potter. A junkie. They can do exactly what they did in the movie with new casting. I'll watch it. And no special effects. I still watch every second of it. Why? I don't know. Is there a reason? No. I just hope they enrich a bit more and go a little bit more depth than they couldn't do in the movies.
Okay.
I mean, I think the movies on the other a great hand, job.
I, on the other hand, have no relationship to the Harry Potter franchise at all. I mean, I just never got into it. My wife got into it. My kids got into it. But then J.K. Rowling came out as anti-trans, and
which I disagree with.
That just turned everybody off to seeing Fantastic Beast movies or anything like that.
Another side story, because I always have one. My wife almost killed one of her good friends who gave me the Harry Potter book on our honeymoon. She almost killed me. Because on the plane, she's trying to talk to me. All I'm doing is reading the new book. That's all I'm doing. Everywhere we went, when she's driving, because we drove around California, I'm reading that book. That book, she's like, can you please finish? I wouldn't speak to her. So I'd get up in the morning. My wife would be sleeping. She'd get up. You're still reading that book? So there you go. On my hauled that Harry Potter book all over California, but I did finish it.
Nice.
I thought she was going to kill me. I mean, I was good. I didn't read it all the time. I'm just saying whenever we weren't together or she was sleeping, I would read it, you know? I'd get up in the morning, read the book. She was driving. I read the book. So there's my Harry Potter story. Now it's on record that I'm an ass. I know, but it was Harry Potter. I had to read it.
That's fair.
That would be my Quentin book that I'm reading now on movie criticism. Oh, my God. So, yeah, here's my issue. I always feel a need to separate reality from works. So whether I like it, like Woody Allen, we all know something's up with that guy. Okay? Fine. I don't read about him. I don't give him money. I get his stuff from the library. So at least I feel I'm not giving him money on streaming. And that's where I kind of tell myself that's okay. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should not watch Woody Allen at all, but that's my personal choice. Because I'm sure if I go through tons of people's stuff, I'll find things on lots of people I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'd rather say, you know what? I'm watching the movie. This is what I'm doing. This is the world. This is what I'm going to enjoy. They would literally have to really annoy me. And J.K. Rowling, yes, is kind of annoying with that statement, but I'm kind of like, I'm a Harry Potter junkie, so I'm kind of, we'll see, but I'm probably still in.
Okay. So are we ready to move on from Indy to Asteroid City?
Oh, yes.
Or do you have
– read my comment on Facebook today?
Yes, I did.
Get ready.
Okay. So we will now be discussing Asteroid City, directed by Wes Anderson and starring – too many white people to name. I mean, it's just every white person that's not in Oppenheimer is in Asteroid City.
Robert Pattinson's not neither.
Okay, fair. So one white person should fire their agent for not getting cast.
Probably true.
I will start because you said there's going to be a war. I will just say that I love the look and feel of this movie. I mean, it is 100% Wes Anderson. If you're into that aesthetic, you're going to enjoy this. I thought the performances were uniformly terrific. I think Tom Hanks kind of stole the show in his wonderful, like, small supporting role. I don't think I've ever seen him quite like that before. This was Jason Schwartzman's film. I mean, he was the lead, and it was fun to see him go from a teenager in Rushmore to co-writing movies with Wes Anderson. Now he's the full-on lead. I thought Scarlett Johansson was incredible in her, I'd say supporting role. I wouldn't say there's like a real female lead. But I loved it. I will be 100% honest. I don't really know what Wes Anderson's message of this movie is. I don't know if it's about the act of creation. Is it about interpretation of art? I'll need a couple more viewings of the movie to truly get it, I think. But aside from that, Tom Hanks, Jeffrey Wright, those two guys stole the movie for me. I thought they were both fantastic.
I'm going to agree with you. I thought the look of the film was phenomenal. Now, before I throw nuts on this, parts of this film I did enjoy. But the overall storyline put me to sleep. Absolutely had problems staying awake during that. Like, Wes, this is too much, Wes. Wes, more focus. More focus, Wes. I understand you have 50 plots going on. I got it all. I don't care. Give me more of those kids. Those kids I love. That kid club was awesome. Those stupid army guys, I don't need to ever see them again. They drove me nuts. They have nothing to add. I just need this film to have a better focus. I understood it was a play and this. And I was just getting confused. I'm like, maybe a rewatch. I would love this film and kind of get it. but I got lost at times. I'm like, what? What? Can we go back? I need to know what's going on. Oh, okay. And then something that happens an hour later connects with something at the beginning. I'm like, oh my God, Wes, you have too many. There's too much stuff. Too many people. Too much stuff going on all at once. And I can't follow this. I really need to watch this two or three times in a row. And I think I'd understand the film perfectly. It was just too much for me. I found his focus was all over the place on this one. Looks great. I love the characters. I think everybody did a great job but Wes in storytelling for me. He was my problem. It was too much Wes Anderson. I hate to say that. I love his films, but this was too much of him for me. Like, it's like somebody said, Wes, stop, stop. No, no, I got to do this. And it's like every idea he's ever had, he just put out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Wes, but I'm confused. It's too much for me. My little brain cannot absorb this. Okay. I got Guardians. It's five guys wandering around. I get it. You have 25 people and they keep coming and going here. And go. I'm like, I get confused. I'm confused again. I want to rewind this, but I can't because I'm stuck in a theater. I need some help. I need like somebody, like one of those audio in my ear. And now this happened. But this linked to something here. That's what I needed. Some headphones, like some narrator coming to explain it to me. And not Edward Norton, because he doesn't show up enough to explain to you what's going on.
Fair.
So yeah, that's my issue with the film. There's nothing wrong with this film other than I just didn't understand it.
Yeah, I agree. But I think we had different – because of that, like we differ in the fact that I was – tickled by the fact I didn't understand it, and I'm excited to go back and rewatch.
Oh no, I'm done. I'm walking away. Wes wins. Win 1-1. 1-0. Wes, you win, buddy. I'm done. I can't get this one.
All right, this one I give a 4 out of 5.
I gave a 2, score. And I gave a 3 to Indy.
Okay, so would you say that you have hard feelings on Asteroid City? Yes, or do you have no hard feelings?
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, that was a bad one. But our next film is No Hard Feelings, directed by Gene Stupinski, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Andrew Barth Feldman, Laura Benetti, Matthew Broderick, sorry, I don't know why I'm talking weird now, and Natalie Morales.
It's my turn to start. I think this is half of a good film. Half of a good film. And you know exactly where I'm going. I think this movie starts off great. I thought the laughs were there. I thought Jennifer Lawrence was on par. Boom, 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 boom. She meets the parents. I'm still on board. When she meets the parents, it's still goofy fun. And then when she meets the kid, it's still not bad for the first two-thirds. The last third where they try to flush this out, I'm like, where are you going? The laughs left for me. It became some rompy, calm mush at the end. I'm like, I just don't care. You lost all that fun. When you're writing a comedy, I have this problem with another film we'll get to in a later next episode. Hopefully I have to discuss with you, but we'll discuss that.
Okay.
I find comedies now have a problem with wrapping things up. So they can't be the hangover where they're constantly having fun with a problem and still remaining friends. They always got to have an issue. And that is my issue with this film. It's got the same problem they all do. The main two characters are doing great. Lots of laughs and boom, we got to have a problem. And the problem is not funny. This is a comedy. And then I got to spend half an hour watching Jennifer Lawrence moping around. Bartholomew, I'm like, guys, you ruined my buzz. I'm in. You caught me. Keep the fun going. Maybe give me something. Get a better ending. Obviously, the ending works for the film because they introduced that at the beginning. That's fine. But that 25 minutes of getting there, I don't want sadness. Boring. I don't want a rom-com. You took a great comedy and made it a rom-com at the end, which pissed me off to no end. Jennifer Lawrence did a great job, except for the last 20 minutes where I feel the writer let them down.
Okay.
I what do I want the ending to be? I can tell you. More laughs. Have him get a real girlfriend. Might have helped this film out a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, I think the thing should have been at the party. Something happens. And then Jennifer Lawrence tries to get him. And then the last 10 minutes, he meets a real girl and goes off with her. Which he kind of does.
What was going to happen, yeah.
But it didn't quite get there. It kind of hesitated and fumbled and then kind of brought it back. And I'm like, you need to introduce that earlier or give it that. Because we didn't need that soppy, her getting all the press crap. I'm like, no. But I did the end. I like the last end credits were great.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. When the house, when they solved the house issue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Worked fine. I had no issues with that. But I like those two characters. I'd like to see more of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They were good. They could act. Bartholomew is eh. He's there. His friends are people they just found wandering on the beach, I think. Looking for change.
I will be honest that my problem with this movie is I didn't laugh. I think I laughed at two things and maybe chuckled at two other things.
The beach scene you chuckled at, because the beach scene wasn't bad.
No, the beach scene, that and when she gets punched in the throat. I laughed at the two violent scenes. That's what made me laugh.
What I've read, that is, Jennifer Lawrence said she was naked in an interview. So I don't know if it was what I heard, because you couldn't really, I'm like, is that Jennifer Lawrence naked? I guess so. So I want to see Jennifer Lawrence top half. This is the movie to watch.
Yes. And that scene, believe it or not, is to me one of the funniest scenes of the movie.
It is. It's pretty good.
When she suplexes a dude into the surf. Yes. That was fantastic. And I think I chuckled at when she called her ex-boyfriend indecisive. And he's like, I want a banana bread. No, make that a banana nut muffin. Or I chuckled at that, and I chuckled when Natalie Morales told her husband to go into the ocean. I thought that was funny too.
Is that you're from personal experience, the banana bread thing for you?
No, I am decisive about what I want for food.
Okay,
I know exactly what I want.
I'm gonna have to email your wife. Hi, you don't really know me, but.
Oh no, she'll tell you. She can order what I get from like whatever restaurant we go to. She knows what my general order is for each restaurant. So
I don't think my wife could. I think she has a rough idea, but every once in a while I'll throw a vicious curveball at her. She'll be like, "What?" I'm like, I'm weird. I like different things every once in a while. I'm like, I'm gonna try something different.
That's fair. But
my favorite restaurant closed during COVID, so I've never really have a favorite restaurant anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
That's okay. It happened. I think they had enough.
I get that. Dealing with the public can sometimes. Okay, so from No Hard Feelings, we will go to Elemental, directed by Peter Sohn, starring Lea Lewis and Mamadou Athi.
You're up.
Yeah, all right. This is the latest from Pixar. And I will say, it being Pixar, it looks spectacular. I love the look of the fire people. I thought the animation was incredible. Unfortunately, I thought the story was very paint by numbers. And I think if you want to take things literally, it shouldn't have been a love story. The fire people should have sued the city for the damages that were happening because they didn't fix a gate. It was very paint by numbers, very you knew beat for beat what was going to happen. It's a love story. It's kind of Romeo and Juliet, but with elements. I really don't want to be that old person, but do you remember when Pixar movies were funny? I mean, yeah. I did not laugh at this movie at all. I will say though, I am 100% an easy cry. It is very easy for movies to make me cry. At the end when the father and daughter do the fire, people bow to each other of respect. I did get weepy-eyed at that, but to go back an episode, that also tells you how bad The Flash was, because The Flash had moments that should have made me cry, but absolutely did not. But anyway, back to Elemental. Yeah, very middle-of-the-road movie. I gave it 2 out of 5. I didn't think there was anything really special story-wise. Just the animation, but I would say if you just want to see pretty animation, wait for it to drop on Disney Plus. No need to spend money to see it in theaters.
No, God, don't spend any money on the remake of Romeo and Juliet. I thought this thing was a flaming pile of crap. It just never interests me. I tried hard to like the – I'm like, I get this. As soon as it started, and then she saw the water guy, fell in love. I'm like, it's Romeo and Juliet. I already know where we're going. I don't find any of this interesting. I don't find the voice acting interesting. I don't find these characters interesting. Actually, I did like the one scene when the parents had to make each other cry.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that kind of worked a bit. I'm like, okay, this is coming back. I know this has got to come back somehow, and it did.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Like, that was the best scene you guys have. Like, I just got bored. I got bored. It's like watching Good Dinosaur all over again. Boring. Pixar is supposed to be fun. Rip my heartstrings out. Shove them on the floor. Bring back Bing Bong. Give me something to cry about. I'm with Doug here. Pixar is known. Yeah. I get teared. Toy Story kills me every time they go see Spike. Like, oh my God. Or when I remember watching Toy Story in theaters. So I hadn't seen it. When they're on the truck and I thought Buzz wasn't going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Game over for me. Like, pouring. This is a cartoon. Nothing in here interests me. I thought these characters stunk. Other than looking nice, they have nothing of interest to do. I mean, the stupid, when they had to go to the football game, what was the point of that?
Fart jokes?
It was awful. And I mean, of course, they tie that in later again, but I'm like, I don't care. This is the best you guys can do, Pixar. I hate to say this, but there was a time when I used to look forward to Pixar movies.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to watch them. Drag my kids to them. Nobody wanted to see this.
None of my kids didn't want to see it.
I didn't want to see it.
I think the last Pixar movie my family got excited for was Incredibles 2.
Which was great.
And I think that was it. I can't think of a Pixar movie after that that people were like, oh yeah, we should go see. Like Lightyear, nobody cared about.
Oh, terrible.
Even Toy Story 4, I still haven't seen. My kids saw Toy Story 4 because they were visiting their little cousin, and their little cousin wanted to see it. So,
okay,
but yeah, this was not good Pixar. I mean, in retrospect, it made Turning Red look better to me.
I did like Turning Red a lot. I enjoy Turning Red.
I didn't enjoy Turning Red that much, but after watching Elemental, I'm like, oh, well, Turning Red's a masterpiece now.
See, you're not a Toronto guy. If you lived in Toronto, Turning Red is an homage to my city.
That's all fair. That
stuff they did is absolutely 100% Toronto. A lot of the jokes are Toronto. I'm like, I get them. Totally got a lot more jokes. I get that. But being here, you got me right there. Having the streetcar right, the sounds right. They had where our baseball team plays. The Chinatown looked right. I'm like, you guys are perfect. That is exactly where I live. I'll give that to you. But I get that. I get why some people like Turning Red. Even if it wasn't my city, I would love it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to return back to, I think Big Hero 6 is them, isn't it? Or is that Disney?
I think that was Disney. I think that was just standard Disney.
Okay. So, I don't know, guys. Give me something. Give me the Inside Out people again. I seem to like them, so they seem to be having fun. Like,
yes.
Anger would have gone nuts during this film. He would have ripped up everything. So, yeah.
I think they are doing a sequel to Inside Out.
Well, as long as it's not Cars, I'll be okay. Do not like Cars.
And just so everybody knows, I gave that movie, I gave Elemental 2 out of 5 Letterboxd.
Oh, and I think we gave the same score. Huh? I think we had the same feeling.
Probably. We are not feeling flaming hot about this movie. Flamin' Hot is the new movie directed by Eva Longoria, starring Jesse Garcia, Annie Gonzalez, Dennis Haysbert, Matt Walsh, and Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, I'm up. Love Dennis Haysbert. Loved him in 24. That's where I think I first was introduced to him, probably on 24.
That or Major League.
Oh, you're right, but I didn't know who he was in Major League because I saw him. You know, I've seen Major League 27 times.
Really? Okay.
God, more story time with Uncle Simon. A person I was dating at the time had a friend. We used to always take the bus to go see her, and she would go chat with her friend. I'd be in the basement with her DVD collection. Oh, sorry, VHS collection. So my options were very limited. She had Beaches, Major League, and I honestly cannot remember the other three films, like only 5 VHS tapes. So every time we go over, I just watch Major League. And I'm the only one I had any interest. So that's how I saw Major League 26 times.
Okay.
Every time we go over, I watch Major League. And you're like, it was far away. So there you go. So back to,
Flaming Hot.
This is Flaming Hot pile of crap. I mean, I have problems with this. I get it. I think this thing is a 40-minute short, not an hour and 40 minutes. It was way too long. I just couldn't buy half this crap that was going on. Like, did this really happen? Because I heard an interview with Eva Longoria somehow. I can't remember where I heard it. And she's discussing this film and saying, well, you can't really believe it all because his memory's a little different. So I'm like, oh, okay. So half this crap may not have happened.
Oh, yeah. The company Frito-Lay's say it's 100% fabricated. So.
Oh, okay. So this is all a big load of crap.
According to the company, not according to I forget the character's name now, or the guy.
But didn't he get a job as an exec?
Yeah.
So how could it be a big load of crap when you got a job as an exec?
Probably the story of the creation of the flavor is not true, okay, according to them.
That is true. I think him working with his wife on the flavor seemed very authentic to me. Mm-hmm. I do buy that. The biggest problem I have, him phoning the president, I kind of do believe, because I do feel he was that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I think saving the planet probably was true, because, I mean, look at the period, look what's going on. It made sense to me. The biggest issue I have with this film is the last scene. But the guy's not going to promote this new brand of chips they have, Flaming Hot. Really? You're not going to promote it? And they go out and physically steal the product and start handing it out? Mm-hmm. I'm like, did that happen? I need some actual fact, hard fact, how they got this promoted. Because that's what my biggest problem is. And even Longoria's shot selection is pedestrian. There's nothing here to tell me, here, Eva, here's a $20 million movie. Go ahead and do it. Like, I didn't see anything exciting. It just felt like a very basic Lifetime movie.
I kind of disagree with that.
Ooh, here we go.
I thought there was a couple scenes that did show a little creativity. Whenever he was telling the story and he had the upper management acting like gangsters and they were lip syncing along with what he was saying. I thought that was very creative and clever. I liked the way she showed.
Oh, you like the gangster scene? But again, that's just a single shot camera, it almost looks like. She's not moving anything.
No, but it's the storytelling techniques is what I was going for. Like, also when she showed the passage of time through the Reaganomic era, and like you just saw the years in the background of the shot as the camera panned. I thought there were some clever filming techniques used in the movie.
I just had a great idea. Maybe have an interview with the kids. He has a kid, right? 2 kids?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have an interview with them at the end of the film? Just tell me if this crap is real or not, because I need to know. They were there. They're going to remember handing out chips.
That is true. I hate to break. I think the handing out chips like drug dealers, that was probably made up, I would say.
I think 100% it was. But I want to know.
Okay.
Because you're showing me this film as a biopic.
Mm-hmm.
I need more than I don't know. Like, I have no idea what's real, what's not real. I'm convinced the cooking part was real. Because it sounded just the way he spoke to me. Like, I know somebody wrote it. It's not him personally. But it sounded real. It really actually made sense to me.
Well, I mean, all biopics are kind of based on true stories. You got to pick and choose what you put in the film. It was based on a book written by the guy. So if you're that curious, you could go read the book. But
well, I might have to, because I need to know the end. I don't believe the end of this is driving me nuts.
Well, like I said, the company said the movie was fabricated, that a lot of what part? Happened.
All of it? The chip giving out at the end? Him calling the management? Like, I need some definite facts.
I don't know. I don't have those
well,
facts.
Well, you need to call the president, Frito-Lay. And find out for me.
And Tony Shalhoub will answer my phone call.
Yes. Tony Shalhoub will answer your phone call. In the monk voice.
I didn't really bump into any issues with this one. I thought this is what you would call a grandma movie.
Exactly.
It's harmless.
Boring. Harmless.
And you could show it to anybody in the family.
I did. You showed it to me.
It was fine. It wasn't offensive or anything. I gave it 2.5 out of 5.
I don't know if I rated it, but I probably would have given it a 2.5 too. Yeah. Even Longoria's directing ain't going to offend anybody. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to get her a Lifetime Christmas movie or Hallmark Channel.
I'd like to see her direct again.
Direct what? I want to see her direct a Liam Neeson movie.
I want to see her. I want to see her direct a Ryan Gosling film.
Notebook 2?
No, just I think like a Craig Gillespie type thriller type story starring Ryan Gosling.
Good luck on. Nobody's giving Elon Gore money for that.
Why not? I thought she was a pretty decent director for this film.
Yeah, okay. We'll bet a donut that she'll be directing a Christmas movie before she directs Ryan Gosling in a movie.
Okay.
That's fair. One donut. It can be Canadian or American donut.
That is
if
fair.
If I come there, it's an American donut. If you come here, it's a Canadian donut.
Okay.
And it could be 20 years from now, we'll still be going on with this donut because I won't forget.
Okay.
But you're on.
You're right. I will remember. There you go.
That wasn't bad. I will give you that one.
And that is our next movie to discuss is Remember. It's a Netflix horror film. Yeah,
which I didn't know, so I'm trying to find this movie going, I can't find this anywhere. Doug's like, Netflix. Oh, I have Netflix. Hold on. Let me go check. And there was. I had no idea what was on Netflix. I'm checking movie theaters. No. Checking Amazon Prime. No. Maybe it's on Vudu or Plex or something. No. Where is it true that that you told me Netflix before I even typed in? Where to watch? Remember? I had no idea.
This is directed by Ichiro Hasumi, starring Kana Hashimoto, Gordon Maeda, and Miyake Yamamoto. I'll start here. I will say I do love a good time loop movie. I like time loop films. So when I heard that's what this was, I'm like, all right, I'm putting it on the list. Unfortunately, I was a little bit disappointed by it because by the end of the movie, I felt there were no stakes. At first, if you got eaten by the monster in the time loop, all of a sudden you didn't exist anymore. I thought, ooh, stakes are happening now. Like you don't just die and wake up. If you're eaten, you're gone. Unfortunately, once they figure out the mystery of the red person, everybody who was eaten comes back to life the next day, but the tragedy is nobody remembers. I think if they stuck with the stakes that if you're eaten, you disappear and you don't come back when people solve the mystery, I think that could have made the movie a lot better, had a lot more tension to it. But as it is, when that happened, that the tension just all dropped out of the movie for me. It was fine. I wish there was a bit more of a mystery to it. I was kind of hoping for maybe a whodunit, like they have to figure out who killed this person, whose body that they're looking for, but that didn't come into play at all. Overall, another movie I was kind of disappointed, and I gave this 2 out of 5.
Wow. I have to disagree with you a tiny bit.
Okay.
Just a teensy weensy little bit. I friggin' love parts of this film. Oh my God. As soon as I found out it was a time loop movie, I'm like, and 100% Doug's got a movie I've never heard of. I finally found it. I'm in. And anything to do with horror and monster when they're in that nightmare universe, mm-hmm. I am in all the way. 100% enjoying the blood splatter, which needed to be more for me. It was a little PG at times. I love the classroom scenes. I love the setting up. I love the library guy. I'm on board. Then I have a problem. They do a flashback. I'm like, no. Where are you going? Don't flashback ever. Then, oh, we're on the beach. And it's a room. I'm like, here we go again. Why are we mixing horror and rom-coms? There's no need for these flashbacks. I want these characters getting slashed every night. Killed every night. That's what I want. I want little time paradoxes, like the cat having an issue. That's what I want to happen in my film. I don't care if they remember each other. Couldn't care less. Then, I mean, I knew as soon as they said, well, we can't find the head, I'm like, it's in the monster, you dum-dums. But I didn't want that little girl to become the monster. Pissed me off. She was a freaky little thing. But they had like, that's what I wanted. Keep her there. What I wanted to happen, so I can say my theory, because it doesn't happen. I wanted to have a decapitator. I really wanted a decapitation on her so badly. I'm like, that would have worked better. And I think they had to do more clue looking. I really found they just did searching. There was no real clues until they go to the house. The house was great. House worked for me. Yeah. And the end of the film kind of works, but I was so pissed off by all the flashbacks I had no interest in. I was annoyed by the time I got to the end. I'm like, okay. And then when the monster started eating people, I was with you. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm back in again. I'm really, really liking this. I'm like, oh. Okay, everybody comes back. I'll give it that, because I think everybody coming back, they set that up with the flashbacks that they're all in love and she loved him and he didn't know she was. And he picks up the pin, go, I remember. I'm like, oh, really? Okay, I guess I got to let it go. So I think there's 3/4 of a good movie again here. They just need to fix some things. And I think that's the problem nowadays, that people – writing films are trying to expand their audience, always trying to expand. Oh, make it a little rom-com so the teenage girls. My daughter watches horror. She does not want a rom-com in her horror. Does not. So I did recommend this to her. I don't think she's watched it yet, but I did recommend it. So we'll see. Okay. I'll try to remember to ask her if she's watched it, because I did say to watch this film because I think she would like it. But again, it was there. It had me. Yeah, and just did stupid choices.
And I think to start off with the murder of the axe murder of the little girl, I think you're setting up a whodunit.
Yes.
But then they didn't go that route at all. And that I shouldn't be disappointed in the movie I wanted, not the movie I got. But no, I can't help but feel that way.
Set us up for that movie. The movie, you're right. The movie should have gotten. The librarian guy was the killer. I know he was. He was always my choice.
Mm-hmm. But then you find out that he actually had played this game before, and that was...
Well, they kind of say, well, that makes sense, because he kept coming over to bug them. Mm-hmm. And he's like, have you played this before? So, yes. and none of my friends know who I am. Well, they didn't finish it. They didn't find the head. Or did he?
I thought he said they did finish it, but then he's the one who warned that when they woke up, everybody forgot.
Maybe that's what he had, that was it. But why does this game keep happening then, is my question. There's no reason.
Yeah, that was another thing that's not explained. And then at the end, did you see the post-credit scene?
Go ahead, tell me it, and I'll tell you if I want to.
The camera goes down the well, and in the well you see the article change. The article was the girl that they had been searching for the body parts of, and it changes to the main character of this movie.
Oh no, I didn't watch it long enough.
Yeah, the article changes from the girl who was murdered in the house to the main character, and now she was murdered at the fair that she said she went to when she was 8 years old, and that's when she met the fair that she was at the male lead with.
So the game always changing then. So there you go. There's our answer. So the answer is the end credits, which I'm going to have to put it back on to watch this last couple seconds. So I think this is a great idea. Just needed to fix a few issues with me. So I think I gave it a 2.5. But yeah, I did quite like it. I like the filming. I did put it on dub, though, so I didn't watch it with subs.
Okay.
I just found it easier. It's easier for me to watch if I don't. I mean, obviously, I could read subs if I have to, but I don't know what these people really sound like anyway. So it's like when I watch Godzilla, I put it on subs.
Okay.
Because I don't care. I just put it on dubbed. Mm-hmm.
All right. So now our next film is To Be or Not To Be, the 1983 version, because we did the 40s last year episode.
No, because Doug wanted to make me watch it.
Yes, I did. This one's directed by Alan Johnson, starring Mel Brooks, Anne Bancroft, Tim Matheson, and an Oscar-nominated Charles Durning in this movie.
Really?
Yes, he was supporting actor nominated for this movie.
Oh, there's a mistake.
All right, I forget. Whose turn is it to go first?
Mine.
Okay.
Because you got the last one.
That is right.
I don't know why this was made. I felt they ruined a perfect movie.
Okay.
They ruined it. Didn't like this movie, they didn't introduce the beginning. The beginning of the first film sets up the whole film. When the guy plays Hitler and the girl, it set the film up. And this one, they don't really do that. They kind of skip that part and go to the second act, which is very quick. The first act is very quick in this movie, the original. And the first act here is the second act in the first movie. I'm like, okay, we're going to start here. Okay. And I didn't like Anne Bancroft at all. I don't find she had the poise Carol Lombard did. Carol Lombard, to me, I get why somebody fell in love with. I didn't fall in love with Anne Bancroft. Maybe I did in The Graduate. But I didn't hear. And maybe that's my problem, that I don't buy Anne Bancroft as being a sex symbol that this guy's in love with. That was my biggest issue. And I don't think she has the presence Carol Lombard does in the film. Carol Lombard, to me, is just great. It has great suspense in the first one. I don't feel this. I feel it's played for a straight comedy.
Yes.
But I did get the mustache one worked better here than it did in the first one for me. But I felt a lot of this film is just highlights from the first film I watched. I'm like, I've seen this film. And I've seen it done better. And I didn't have the killing of the guy I loved in the first film. They killed him in the theater and he tried to escape. And all that suspense stuff is taken right out of this picture. And to me, that kind of takes away from the picture. And this was just a comedy. I'm like, it's not working for me. It never works for me. I tried. I did think it did some things better. I think the end of the film is done better. I think I do like the end of the film. I think it's better shot. I find the first one was just kind of quick, boom, boom, out. This one, they kind of extend a few scenes. I'm like, okay. I didn't like it. I didn't like the extra character dresser they added. They had to go find him. I thought that was dumb as hell. So overall, I didn't like this. I probably gave it a 2.
Okay.
I gave from a 10 to a 4. So basically, I gave the other one a perfect 10. This one I'd give a 4.
Okay. See, I'm the opposite. I feel the exact opposite of what you do. I love that. This is the one. This is the To Be or Not to Be I was much more familiar with. I had seen the original one or two times. This one I've seen maybe 10 times. It was on HBO all the time when I was growing up. So I kind of love this. It's the same story as the original, but this time they added some musical numbers. And I love a good Mel Brooks musical number. And I thought Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft, I thought they were fantastic together. Because they were married in real life, their chemistry showed in this movie. Do I think that Anne Bancroft is a sex symbol? Maybe not, but I think she's definitely a fantastic actress, and she pulled off the role here. I had no idea that the doctor was played by Jose Ferrar until the end credits of this movie. And that was another thing I loved. I loved that it ended like a play, like where the players come out on stage and took their bows. I thought
you
that
like
was very,
that? I couldn't yeah. care less.
I thought that was clever. I liked that a lot. But I've also gotten to see a lot of Broadway shows recently. So
well, it must be nice to live so close to Broadway.
It is expensive, though.
Oh, absolutely, it's expensive.
But yeah, I love this movie. I gave it a 4 out of 5, which I think is the same I gave the original. I think it's on par with the original. Are you ready to go cold turkey? Do you think we could get this done before our time runs out?
We can try. Then we have one more after, though. Don't forget.
We do?
Then I we have don't a remember. Godzilla film? I oh, sorry, wrong so. List.
Yes.
Wrong list. Never mind. That's my list. Keep going.
Yes.
I'll be right back, right. But I am listening.
All right. Cold Turkey, 1971, directed by Norman Lear, starring Dick Van Dyke, Pippa Scott, and Bob Newhart. Since Simon has stepped away, I'll start off here. I was actually surprised by this movie in the fact that I did not like any of the characters. I thought everybody in this movie was a piece of crap. Dick Van Dyke's priest was really just in it for himself. He was in it for the name recognition. He didn't really care about the people of the town, I don't think. Bob Newhart, he played the cigarette company's lackey. Yeah, he was a piece of crap. I thought everybody in this movie was a piece of crap. It would have been a 2 out of 5 for me, except for the fact that at the end, I think Norman Lear knew that everybody was a piece of crap and had 3 people shot at the end. I liked that. So in the end, I gave it 3 out of 5. Kind of sad that this is the only movie Norman Lear directed. He spent most of his career making television shows. So this is the one time he directed a feature film, and I was just curious about that.
Okay. I think the premise is great. I love the opening scene. That when they're all falling asleep listening to Dick Van Dyke's sermon, they're just all napping. I thought it was great. I liked the premise. I thought the premise worked, and them trying to sign everybody up was great. I liked the cigarette meetings. I thought they were great. When the cigarette execs, I thought that was well. And then it got – nothing was overall funny to me. Then I just got bored. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens of interest for the next hour. I'm like, is something interesting going to happen? No, nothing.
And there's nobody to root for.
There's nobody to root for. Dick Van Dyke's unlikable. Everybody, you're right. Everybody's unlikable but the doctor. The doctor was the only character I liked.
Okay.
And I thought, the only part, my favorite part of this film, I was pretty bored. I was sitting going, well, this is nothing's going to happen. But I love the end, the trick Dick Bob Newhart plays on the guys when they drop all the cigarettes.
Yes.
10 minutes before midnight, he fucked with the clocks. I thought that was great. I go, that is the best scene in the movie. Stop the doctor. Somebody stop the doctor. They're all jumping. I'm like, that was great. And I like that scene. But other than that, I'm like, Norman, really? Is this? You're a great writer. Did you not think this needs some punching up? Like Dick Van's wife, Dyke's wife, doesn't even like him.
Yeah, yeah. She's the one character I felt sorry for because she was so henpecked and silent that she never gets to speak. She just gets to scream in one fantasy sequence when her husband's being a complete asshole. And she's just in her own little world screaming at the top of her lungs to be noticed. But that's on the inside. On the outside, she's just a silent, put-upon wife.
I 100% agree, but I want to thank you for putting this on the list because I never heard of it. I like the me and you have this repartee that we can find films that neither of us know and put it on the list and we discover things.
Yes.
Together. And I think that's a great, that's one part of the show that I don't care if anybody cares, but I care. So thank you for putting Cold Turkey on the list.
You're welcome.
So we're almost done, Doug. We're almost to the end. So did you buy anything? Because I did.
I did too, because the, 50% off Criterion sale has started.
Of but course. Didn't get an email again, Doug. This is weird how you
The first one's not Criterion. It's Little Murders. It's one of the few films Alan Arkin directed. So yeah, I wanted to see that. Now I'll just do a quick Criterion movies. Tokyo Drifter. Branded to Kill in 4K.
0-3 so far.
This movie I've never seen. Thelma and Louise, 4K.
1-4.
this one I have seen, but this is a 4K disc. Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Filmed in Toronto, 2-5.
Really? This one's filling a big hole in my viewing. It's a mad, 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 mad world.
Friggin' love it. 3-5.
And then the last one, Mishima. Written and directed by Paul Schrader.
Nope, didn't make it. 3-7. Didn't make it. Didn't pass the muster. That's how Doug does. So I went to the cottage for the first time this year, I know, because I work two jobs, so I'm usually busy. But I finally made it. And you know what's weird? My brother left the cottage. He almost never leaves. He goes, oh, I'm going with you. You'll be gone in 2 seconds. I'm like, really? Because I went to the butcher. You got to hear this. I got a pound of bacon. So I got 6 pounds of bacon for $48.
Wow.
Pounds. Not like 300 pounds, like thick, fresh bacon he just got. So here we go. I found these at the thrift store, $2 each. Jim Carrey and Copper Mountain.
This
is a big pile of crap. It's a Canadian TV movie. It's about an hour long. Alan Thicke's in it for like, think, garbage people. Do not watch this. It's complete trash. I've never heard of this. Tigers at the Top. It's an India release. I've never heard of it, but it's some kung fu movie I haven't seen. I hadn't even looked this up, and this is a real movie. Boys Town, some Australian movie I found for $2.
All right.
Things I find at the thrift store. And I'm telling you, this thrift store is like nobody – I don't know who bought to drop these off because it's just a weird. And O'Hara's Wife with Ed Asner.
Never.
So Doug is 0-4. Yes. I win this week, people. And if they make it,
we will watch it.
Goodbye.